This is Bird Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant,
that would be me,
at fairandunbalanced.com, in association with Mad Mike's America, discussing the Cowardly College of Containment.
President Truman's Secretary of State, as the Cold War began in the middle of the century, was Dean Acheson.
Like everyone, Acheson was surprised at the tactics of the Soviet Union after World War II ended. Expanding into buffer countries, taking them over, was out of the norm, at least what had been normal up to that point. Acheson presided over a debate within the State Department. The prevailing sentiment following the war was, in a couple of words, never again.
Never again to genocide. Never again to appeasement.
Those lessons were pressed into American consciousness.
But so was the possibility of nuclear war.
The issue among policymakers became one of alternatives. How could we escape war that could come from confrontation? How could we prevent war that could come from a lack of response? Acheson's group came up with a plausible answer. Strength was to be used to threaten, but also to lift up. Strong-arming the Soviet menace while pulling up allies required different expressions of the same resolve. Acheson's group called it containment. The combination of cautious brinksmanship and economic aid followed a strategic theory. If the Soviet Union could be contained, kept within boundaries, the entire empire would eventually fall victim to its own contradictions. Conservatives were outraged at the moral ambiguity. That rage mingled with opportunism as a senator from California attacked Dean Acheson in personal terms. Senator Richard Nixon went after Democrats running for an assortment of offices using the same alliteration. Each was a quisling.
Holding a Ph.D. from Dean Acheson's Cowardly College of Communist Containment.
The cowardly containment rhetoric was more than bluster. It was the clarion call of true believers. We were at war, and there ought to be no limits. Conservatives were angry beyond words at the rejection of emotional impulse. The substitution of thoughtful strategy was infuriating. Turning away from intellect during crisis is a predictable emotional response, but acting on rage can have unintended results. As was the case back then, conservatives today have much to be angry about. The United States insists that substantial continuation of aid to Iraq depends on changes in Iraq's treatment of its people. Otherwise, weapons will continue to fall into the hands of murderous ISIS militants. Military aid to rebels in Syria is restricted to weapons that cannot be later used against the United States or our allies until a clear division develops between those fighting an oppressive regime and terrorist militants who join them. I was thinking of the days of Nixon's cowardly containment verbiage as I read a joint statement from Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona, and Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. Their demand for massive arms to Iraq and to the Syrian resistance contained some of the same desperate, fist-clenching anger. Here are a few excerpts.
A policy of containment will not work against ISIS. We need to get beyond a policy of half measures. None of this should be contingent on the formation of a new government in Baghdad.
The tone is familiar. We need to do something decisive, massive, and we need to do it now. In fact, we don't need to do something. We need to do the right thing. We don't need to make a move. We need to make the smart move. We don't need to act now, unless now is the right moment.
The visceral reaction, often expressed, is, at its heart, emotional.
We should recognize and understand that. But we should also understand, and we should reject, the true nature of that central demand. Just as their forefathers did 2/3 of a century ago, true believers reject thought itself. This is Bird Deming, along with our virtual fictitious assistant,
that would be me,
at fairandunbalanced.com, in association with Mad Mike's America.